It's good to be together as a family. It's good to be together to give thanks and praise God for all that He's done for us. For me, Christmas is not about the presents one gives and receives, but it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to see you. I've been praying for you, wondering how things are going on. Particularly this week, you were in my mind and I was praying for you. So, it's an answered prayer to see you. Praise God. Amen. You doing good? Good. Praise God. We're still waiting for the answers, are we? Say that again. You got a 20th of January, you're going to the court. Okay, well, that's something we'll pray for. Hallelujah. You know, a family that prays together stays together. Amen. Family that presses into the things of God will see signs, wonders and miracles working in their, on their behalf. I know for me, this last year, 2009, has been a difficult year. Physically, for me it's been, I'm not sure I've had a year like it, ever. But guess what? It's running out.
Yeah.
And I'm winning.
Amen.
I'm on top of the year. The year's not on top of me.
Amen.
That's the place that we have to get to. That even in the difficulties, even in the challenges that we face, we're still here. That's good. That's some good preaching, that. We're still here. We're still here because God is here.
Yeah.
The power of God is amongst us and wants to work through us as individuals.
Yeah.
And what we need to look towards in the future as we move in forward into 2010, it's the beginning of a new decade.
Amen.
You know, it's the new decade. It's not just a new year. It's the commencement of a new decade for us.
Yeah.
Something different is going to happen.
Yeah.
Got to be on top. That's it. Come on, got to be on top. But you see, you have got to move forward. You have got to move in the areas. You've got to start to be challenged and challenge the enemy. You've got to allow the Word of God to begin to move in your life. You've got to allow changes to start moving in you. Because God's not going to change. And we're not going to let the devil win. No. You see, the word of God says you are a winner.
Amen.
You're a winner.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
Drinking and drugs is what the devil does.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good idea. Drinking and drugs is what the devil does. Yeah. But we don't.
We
do what God wants us to do.
We're on top.
We're the people of God who's going to move forward in the things of God in the future. You see, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus. It's not about you, it's about the family. As we move together in the things of God. Going in the right track, going in the right direction. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For even as the body is one, and as yet many members, and all of the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus came that he might have one body.
Yes.
Not a body that's split up into fractions, not a body that's split up into different directions, but one body, a whole body, moving in the right direction, moving under the obedience to the Holy Spirit, to the mind of God, having the mind of Christ, moving forward. It's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And who you know does not mean who you know in the sense of the world. But when I say who you know, but it's Him, Jesus. Yeah. If you know Christ as your Lord and your Saviour, then you will begin to move forward as a corporate body. You will begin to move forward in the things of God.
Yeah. And go with the flow.
That's right, you go with the flow. You see, you are part of a... coined the phrase that the Americans use, an awesome body.
Yeah.
You are part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what He's called you into. He's called you to come into teamwork.
Yeah. Amen.
Those of you that follow football will know the team that plays as a team and not as individuals is often the team that is the top of the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you can have great players. You can have a team of 11 fantastic players. But if they're all playing for themselves, they're not going to get very far, because there are 11 others on the other side seeking to stop that one man who's playing for himself. And to stop one, he's outnumbered. But you need to work as a team.
Yeah.
The Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, you and I need to work as a team.
Yeah.
The vision that we have, to see people's lives being changed and affected by the power of God, to see people being healed, to see people being delivered from drugs and alcohol, to see the sick being healed and raised up. That is where we're at. And as we become a team, we become better.
Yes.
And better.
Yeah.
And better. The more that we pray together, the more powerful we will come. And I believe that as we come into this next new year, we're going to start praying together more.
Yeah.
We're going to start praying together. We're going to push through. We are going to get to the top, because that's where God has appointed us to be, the head and not the tail of every situation and circumstance. God has called us and appointed us to that place. That's why we exist. Why are you here today? Is a good question. That's one answer. Because God loves me. That's the reason why you're here. But why are you here today?
Because God called me here.
Because God's called you here. Well, if He's called you here, He's called you here for a purpose, and He's called you here to be a doer of the work of God.
To be able to pray as well.
To pray.
Yeah.
And to lay hands, to be that team.
Yeah.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Hey, praise God. Hallelujah. That is what God is calling us to be. It's about making sacrifices at times to be here.
Forget about the TV and stuff.
TV? There's a load of rubbish being on. Forget about that. Yeah. To be here.
Yeah.
It's about being here. There is a saying, the family that prays together stays together. The team that plays well succeeds. We're not playing, I'm not playing at Christianity. Are you? It's about commitment. If we are going to see successes in 2010,
yeah.
It needs people to get the shoulder down to the wheel. It needs to put the shoulder to the situation to press through. It's not about being phased. It's not about listening to tittle-tattle and gossip and backbiting and resentment, because those are tools of the devil.
Yeah.
They will destroy you. They will bring you down. You see, the devil wants to bring you down. He wants to stop you in your tracks.
Yeah. That's the way you do it.
But God wants to lift you up.
Yeah.
God wants you to know that 2010 is the beginning of a new decade for you as an individual. There are some great things that are ready to happen in 2010 if you will position yourself in the right place, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. God wants to make changes. Are you prepared to let it happen?
Yes.
God wants to make changes. God wants to increase the anointing in your life. God wants to increase the flow of Himself through you to touch other lives. That's what He wants to do. For me, I'll be glad to see the back of 2009 in one sense. But I look forward with an excitement to 2010. Because 2009 for me has been a massive challenge. Was it?
Yeah.
Well, praise God, we're out of that old decade. We've nearly seen that old decade. We've nearly put it.
Nearly
we've nearly put it to death.
It's nearly gone.
We're pressing into a new future together. I had an encouraging phone call. I spoke to a friend who I haven't spoken to for a number of years. He was a missionary for most of his life in Congo. And we spoke on Christmas Day. And we were sharing about this last year. And I shared about my physical difficulties that I've had with my back. And he said to me, you know, he said, let me share this with you. He said, his own son, just a few years, not too many years ago, had a similar problem, had the disc removed, had some form of plastic disc put in its place. He was okay for 3 or 4 months, and then all the pains came back. So they tried various injections for a period of time, and those helped for a short period of time. And then the doctor came up with a new idea. And my friend's son said, no, forget it. Just leave it alone. And he went to church a few days later. And there was a minister in the church. And the minister said, there is somebody here with a back problem. And he thought, as he looked around church, there were 1,000 people in church. And his mind said, well, there must be at least 300 people in church with a back problem. So he sat there and did nothing. A few people went out for prayer. And then the minister went on to say, there is somebody here, they've had an operation, they've had this done. And he actually described his situation. And he thought, well, that sounds like me. So he went out for prayer. They lay hands on him, they prayed for him. He went home, he says, nothing had happened. I went to bed. Next morning I woke up. I got out of bed. No pain.
Amen.
I had no pain since. I said, thank you, Lord, because I'm waiting for my miracle. I know that my Jesus heals. I know that my Jesus can replace discs. I know that Jesus can take away all pain. I know that Jesus can change the things that happen to us and bring us to a place of victory.
Yeah.
You see, that is my Jesus. And if you don't want Him, you and I won't be walking together.
No.
If you don't want the Jesus that I know, we're not going in the same direction.
Right.
If you don't want Christ and the commitment that Jesus demands from us, we're not walking together in unity. We're not playing on the same team, even. I know which team I want. The devil has sought to distract us, to push us to one side, to just destroy us in some shape or form. And I've made a decision this last year. He's not going to do it to me. He sought different ways. He sought different ideas. He's come up with different strategies to pull me down. Do you know why? Because he knows you have a future. He knows I have a future. He knows I have a calling on my life. Do you have a calling on your life?
Yes.
Each and every one of us has a calling. The devil does not want you to fulfill that calling. He wants you to fail. There's no future with the devil. There's no future in the kingdom of darkness. There's only a future with Jesus Christ. Walking Him step by step with Him. Walking in step with the Spirit of God. That is the only time there's going to be a future for any of us.
Amen.
And you know, people don't want that today. Do you know why? Because it means I've got to be committed. I've got to be committed to you. You've got to be committed to me. Oh, I don't need that. My life's too busy to be committed. I've got too many distractions. That's what they mean.
That's the devil talking.
Yeah, that's the devil talking.
If you're distracted by the devil, by the glitz and the glamour, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Because when all is gone, when everything is taken away, we shall be weighed in the balance. Everything that we have ever done shall go through the fire. What comes out is that which is Jesus. That which is Him. There were many people who said, oh, we've done this in your name, we've done that in your name, we've raised the dead, we've healed the sick, we've done this, this and this in your name, Jesus. And that scripture says, I never knew you. I never knew you. And guess what? Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There are people going round and they're doing things in the name of Jesus. They're doing things in His name. They're saying things in His name. It's like they have a rubber stamp and every time they do something they go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And do you know something? Jesus has never been asked about it. Jesus has never been consulted about it. They just know the name and they think it's a rubber stamp. They think it's a right to the check. Stamp. Stamp. Just say Jesus and it'll be okay. Well, it won't. You have to know Jesus.
Amen.
You have to know Him. You have to have a conversation with Him daily. You have to have a passion with Him. You have to be in love with Him. You have to be embraced by Him. You have to sacrifice and give all that you have got to Him. And when you've done that, then maybe you can use that word, Jesus. You need to know His mind. You need to know His heartbeat. You need to be of one heart, one voice, one spirit, moving in the passion of God. Don't be distracted by the devil and the things that the devil puts before you. One of the biggest things the devil puts before you is yourself. Stand in front of a mirror and what do you see? Self. And the biggest thing the devil puts before you is yourself. You get in the way. I get in the way. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's not about me, Lord Jesus. But it's all about you. It's all about Jesus. 2010, next decade, needs to be all about Jesus.
Amen.
Because if it's about you, you're going to get nowhere fast. Well, you think you are. Some of you think, well, I've done all right so far. When the system runs out, when the system decays, and there's nothing left but Jesus, those that will come through in victory, those who will see the might and the power of God moving in their lives, will be those that know Jesus. And of themselves, there is nothing left but Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. It's not about me. You see, self-centeredness has no place for Jesus.
No.
I'll do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'll go where I want to go, I'll be what I want to be, and nobody's going to tell me anything different. And guess what? The I in each of every one of us says that. The devil said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. The devil said, I will. I will. And when the I gets in the way, when the selfishness gets in the way, that's the Antichrist. You're in no conversation with Jesus when your I gets in the way. When me, it's all about me, Jesus, they sing instead. It's all about me, Jesus, it's nothing about you. It's all about me, Jesus. And guess what? That's when our worlds come tumbling down.
Yeah.
That's when the enemy brings us down. That's when we are at our weakest. And we're being destroyed. And you know, most people think that's when they're at the strongest.
No.
I can do this.
That's when they're at the weakest.
I can do that. Nobody tells me what to do. Guess what? You're setting yourself up for a fall.
Yeah.
Setting yourself up for a fall. But when we say, Lord Jesus, it's all about you. It's not about me. I thank God for the people that have that commitment to say, Lord Jesus, it's all about you. And it's not about me. And I just give him praise for that. Praise his wonderful name. You know, as we look back at this last year, and say, what have we been able to do by the leading and the direction of the Lord? Well, for a number of years we have supported financially Bishop Cody, Bishop Elijah as we call him. Now retired and in his 80s, his health's failing a little. But he rang on Christmas Day to wish everybody well and to send his love and blessings to each and every one of you. And some say, well, I've never met him. Well, we'll get a photograph up and we'll show you. And you can see him. We've supported the work of Teen Challenge Doncaster. Financially, physically, prayerfully, emotionally. We've supported the work of the Carpenter's Arms. The church this last few weeks have been able to help it secure its future for another 12 months. And we thank God for that, that we have that ability within us to do it. We've supported the work of Open Doors, ministering to churches throughout the world. So Harvest Fields, if you've been involved in that, you are part of the worldwide vision. You have been out somewhere. Some of you have got prayer. You have got a list of countries to pray for. And you pray for them maybe on a daily, weekly basis. I don't know. But you pray for the nations. That the gospel will go out.
Amen.
That the victory will be won in these nations. And that these who are imprisoned will find release.
Yeah.
We did the shoebox appeal.
Yeah.
We sent out gifts. Children out in Romania and the eastern countries there. And there are children who were blessed. Some of you children have received some lovely presents, I guess, over Christmas, haven't you? Yeah. But there are children who don't get presents. There are children who never receive a gift. There are children who have been brought up in orphanages. Just been cast to one side. Unwanted. Neglected. Uncared for. Nobody to even send them a Christmas card. And yet we've been able to send out parcels with gifts for them. To let them know there is somebody thinking about them and praying for them. As a church, we've been supporting Mary and Eric as they fight their case to stay in this country. We've prayed for different ones, that they might be delivered from the tyranny and still continue to pray.
Yeah.
And we thank God
that
we've been able to do those things. Those are just some of the things. I mean, you may have some other things that you remember that we've done. Lots of things have been going on. We've been ministering to people's lives. We've seen people get saved this year. Some of them are still coming along. And they're going through the foundation group and are being built into the church and becoming foundations and becoming stones, lively stones in the fabric of a church. We're not a rich church. One time we had people who had good jobs and could, you know, give quite well. Today now we're a church where that's not the case. But we believe God and we press on.
Amen.
We believe God for great things in the future.
Amen.
That God will provide. God will make a way where there is no way. You know, in areas that we, in finance where we fall short, I believe God wants to increase us spiritually. He wants you to know a greater anointing on your life. He wants you to know the power of God moving through you. He wants you to know a release of the goodness of God in you. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 30, this is just to emphasize how we should be with each other. Let's just have a look at the famous... Just use this as a memory jogger for yourself. Okay? John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. 10:10. Okay? John's Gospel, 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they, meaning you, might have life and have it more abundantly. That's John's Gospel, chapter 10. Where is it?
John's Gospel, chapter 10. 10:10.
10:10. Yeah. Praise God. And for all of us that are old enough, wise enough, can remember the music that went ten 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 ten. It was always, that's right, it was always played on a lot of the films and things in TV, and we always called it 10:10 time. Ten 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 ten.
Cowboy time.
You got it. 10:10. And so remember, move from 10:10 to 10:30. And that's not the news or the end of it. Glory to God. It's the beginning. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. One. I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Jesus also said, I only do that which I see the Father doing.
Amen.
You know something? There are more people with different ideas in churches and they're not listening to the Father. We need to listen to the Father. We need to be at one that we might see the abundance of John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. An abundance. And the abundance comes out of the fact of 10:30 being as one. Makes it easy to remember when you do those sort of things, don't you?
Yeah.
And it's an easy, you know, you've just got... You can preach a message for yourself right from there. Two scriptures. God wants to see the power of God moving in your life. But it only comes from unity. In Psalm 133 and verse 3 it says, "There where the brethren dwell together in unity." God commands the blessing, life forevermore. That's what God does. But it comes out of unity, not out of disunity. It comes, you see, unity is a loyalty to each other. Guess what? Probably, if you're as honest as you are for 2010, that you are going to go for it in God, then at some stage, the enemy is going to try and trip you up. You're going to have to be on your guard. You're going to have to be watchful. Yeah. And you know, along the way, he may trip you up. You know what? When we dwell together in unity, do you know what we do? We reach down. Uh-huh. And we pick the other one up. Uh-huh. And we strengthen them. Yeah. And we come alongside them. And we encourage them. We don't walk away. No. We don't desert them. We stand with them. Let me tell you this, in 2010, at some stage during 2010, you will disagree with me on something I preach. Yeah. I once said that many years ago and somebody said, "No, I won't." I said, "There's that first time that you've disagreed with me." Yeah. You remember that, some of you, don't you? You see how confident and cocky we can be. I said that many years ago in this assembly. And somebody says, "Oh no, I won't." I said, "Well, you've just done it already." We're so adamant. You see, God has placed me as pastor and teacher in this church at this time. But guess what? I need to be also taught, that I might teach the mystery and the wisdom of God. So that which I already know is okay. But guess what? God will begin to teach me new things. God will begin to change some of my doctrine. He's done it over the years, so he's not stopping. He's going to carry on changing me. He's going to carry on opening his word to show me the mysteries of the word of God. See, that book that you hold, the Bible, the word of God, is an absolute mystery. You can read it, read it, read it. And then one day, the same piece of scripture that you've been reading, it's like somebody has just put the light on. And it jumps out you. And you go, "Wow, I have never seen that before." Yes, you have. You've read the same letters have been in the same order. And you've read it time after time after time. But it has never been revealed to you the hidden meaning of the Word of God. Dharma went to Bible college. Dharma could tell you stories of his time in Bible college. Some of you ladies would not need to go to the hairdressers to have your hair permed. It would curl your hair. Because there were people that were there. And I'm not sure that he knows why they were there. They were there just simply to get a qualification. They weren't in love with Jesus. They had more of a lust for the girls, and the girls had a lust for the boys. And God was secondary, or even third maybe. And people say to me, oh, I'd like to go to Bible college. What for? Are you called to Bible college? Is that what God intends for you? Some people say, I have a calling on my life. And they go off. And they try and do it out of their own ability. Moses had a calling. He spent 40 years in school. Elisha was called and he served Elijah. Joshua had a calling to take the children of Israel finally into and possess the land. He spent 40 years serving Moses, standing beside him, standing outside the tent of meeting while Moses is inside. Do you know what have happened to some of us? We'd have stood there an hour and said, if it's going to be much longer, I'm going. My tea's ready. I'm not stopping and waiting for him. But he didn't. He stood there. Do you know something? When Moses left and went back to the camp, Joshua still stood there. Do you know why? He was hungering and thirsting for more of God. If there was anything that was left over, he was going to catch it. And he did that day after day, year after year. He stood outside while Moses went in. When Moses went up the mount to receive the tabernacles, Joshua went with him, but he was only allowed to go so far. But he was still on the mountain, and he stayed there. He could have turned around and said, well, this lot down here could follow me. I could get them to follow me. He even said, you know, he's dead, Moses is dead. But no, he was a servant. And because he served, God exalted him into a vision and a purpose. Because he had served, he didn't serve Moses, he served God. He served the man of God. He served God for a corporate blessing. You see, if Joshua had not served Moses in the way he did, Joshua would not have been ready to take the people into the land, across that Jordan, and possess that land. He would not have been ready. And guess what? There was nobody else standing in the wings. Nobody else. There was only him and Caleb that went over into that promised land and stayed there. Because they were servants unto God's servant. And God is looking for church people that are going to serve and move forward. God is looking for you to begin to take up the calling. Take up your position. Take up your place. And it's not about how much you know it's in your mind, but it's how much you know of Him in your spirit. How much you know of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you as we come to the end of this year, that we seek the corporate anointing. We seek the face of God. We come together in unity. You know, you make that sacrifice to be with each other, to be in the house of God, that we will change the direction of the nation and the area that we live in. Some of us are looking to go out to Africa, to Congo and Rwanda. It will not be a once-in-lifetime trip. You know, it needs you to be here supporting the work. But at the same time, is God going to send you with us at some stage? Question. You have to answer that in prayer. Seek God. Know what God's mind is. But the base has to keep on going. The base has to move forward. The base has to be a base of power. The base has to be a place of authority and might. So that when people go out, they're covered with prayer. They're covered in the strength and the anointing that is in this place. The anointing of Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you that As we move forward into 2010, this new decade, we move and we leave the old baggage behind.
Yes.
Get rid of the old baggage.
Yes.
I'm not saying make New Year's resolutions, because most folk break them. I'm saying get tied into Jesus more. Get tied into God more. Get tied into the church more. Get built up more in the things of God. And you will see a new direction coming in your life. You will see a new power. You'll not be upset by small things. But you will upset big things. Hallelujah. You will turn over the enemy's tables and destroy the work of the devil. And you will walk in victory. And we will stand together and we'll see the kingdom of God coming in might and in power for His praise and for His glory in Jesus' mighty name. So be encouraged. Know that God is on the throne. And He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Praise His wonderful name. And when He says never, He means never.
Amen.
You have people who say, oh, I'll never leave you. I'll always be here. Careful what you say. God will challenge you. God will challenge you. And the devil will challenge you. God will test you on your word. Hallelujah. We are a victorious people. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation unto God. May the Lord continue to bless you and minister strength to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.